wedding in days gone by and on up into through the 50s and into the 60s and many places. Brethren didn't have air conditioning, and they had their meetings in the middle of the summer. And you think about those fellows, when they come out of the pulpit, they would be completely wet, their clothes would be. The man who led the singing, many times he'd be in the same shape. Folks thought nothing about it. And so we can do it one time. Tonight I want to talk about in service to God, there is no middle ground. Now, we live in a day when people are hunting middle ground. You listen to politicians, and what they're hunting is middle ground. And you listen to people in the religious world, and they're hunting the middle ground. Now, people who are hunting the middle ground, the truth about it is, they really don't want to take a stand, a good, strong stand for the truth. And that's the way it has always been. That's the way it is presently. But the Lord has not marked out any middle ground. Now, this is a very simple lesson, but a lesson that needs to be driven home. Because I see the idea among us today to hunt middle ground, you see, the more moderate. And this is happening among conservative churches. Brethren are hunting the more moderate preacher, you see. We want the middle ground. Well, there is no middle ground with the Lord, and that's a lesson we need to learn. Let's just look at some passages that point this out. You remember that Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 6 and verse 24, he said, "No man can serve two masters." It's impossible, you see, to serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So Jesus here pointed out there is no middle ground. We are either serving God or we're not serving God. Again, in the 12th chapter of the book of Matthew, and in verse 30, the Lord said, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." What is he telling us? There is no middle ground. There was no middle ground in the Old Testament. As we would turn back to the book of Joshua, in Joshua the 24th chapter, verse 15, Joshua said, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but for me and my house we will serve the Lord." There was no middle ground in the days of Joshua. A man had to make his choice, either to serve the Lord or to serve idols, to serve the Lord or to serve the devil. And that's the way it is today. And here is a truth we all need to face up to. You, and the truth applies to me, are either serving Christ or you're serving Satan. There is no middle ground. A lot of times we'd like to think that there's a middle ground. But if you are not serving Christ, you're serving the devil. We've already pointed that out in Matthew 6 and verse 24. He says, "No man can serve two masters." Now, we are serving the one that we are rendering service to, the one that we're obeying. And this is what Paul said in Romans 6 and verse 16. He says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness." If I am obeying Satan, I am the servant of Satan. And Jesus would point that out in the 8th chapter of the book of John, and looking down to about verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." People who are committing sin are the servants of sin. They are the servants of the devil. And Jesus pointed out again, if we are serving the devil is our father. In John 8 and in verse 44, he says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there was no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Now, these truths, you see, are very pointed. He made most of the points I've been dealing with. Our Lord did. Any inspired man that makes the point, he's making it, of course, Jesus is making it. But here, many of the things I've said, Jesus said it. He said it very pointedly, because he wanted a clear understanding. There is no middle ground. And you and I must understand that there is no middle ground. If you and I can labor under the fact that maybe there is middle ground, then that'll give us some kind of hope. And we'll not think that we are as bad as we are. But the Lord wants us to see us as we see ourselves as we are. He wants me to see myself, I am either serving him or serving the devil. The Lord wanted me to face that. Now, if I am obedient, then I am serving Christ. You remember the passage that I read in Romans 6 and in verse 16, when he says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants, ye are whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, of obedience unto righteousness." Now, if we're obeying Christ, if we're obeying righteousness, then of course Christ is our master and we are serving him. And if we are serving him, of course the way of Christ is easy and light compared to serving the devil. And this is what the Lord said about it in Matthew 11, and when he invited all to come, beginning with about verse 28. He says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Now, going back to an Old Testament passage, in Proverbs 13 and 15, the writer of old said, "The way of the transgressor is hard." And you stop to think about it. The Lord said, now, if you are an obedient servant of mine, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But if one is serving the devil, he has a hard master. And I'd like to impress that upon you tonight. If you are here tonight and serving the devil, you are serving a hard master, because the devil doesn't give you any hope. He didn't give me any hope. Oh, he promises us everything, and he gives nothing. Think about every time that you have ever made a deal with the devil. Think about how you wound up. Think about it. Think about what a hard master he is. Think about how disappointed, how hurt, how your conscience hurt, how you were made ashamed, how you were disgraced when you served the devil. All of us have made that mistake. All of us, at times in our lives, have become involved with the devil and the service of the devil. And did he pay off? Was it good? No, he was a hard master. And so, here tonight, we are either serving the Lord or we're serving the devil. You are either a child of God or you are a child of the devil. And this is just how the Lord puts it. As John would write in 3 John, or let's see, down about verse 10, in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, rather. I told you off there, I'm sure, what I said. 1 John, the 3rd chapter, and look down to about verse 10. He says, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Now notice, there's no middle ground. No middle ground. The Bible nowhere makes a middle ground in any situation. We're either a child of the devil, or we are a child of Almighty God. We are either serving the devil, or we are serving Jesus Christ. There's no middle ground. And he says, in this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So here he's pointing out the children of God who do not love their brethren are children of the devil. And so I need to learn that. He marked out no middle ground from the standpoint of masters. I am either serving Christ or I am serving the devil. Now I need to face up to that as a Christian. You need to face up to that if you are in your alien sins. You need to face up to the fact who you are serving. You're not on some kind of middle ground. There is no middle ground. The Lord did not mark out any middle ground. Secondly, there is no middle ground between truth and error. When we begin to study the Bible, it becomes evident that there is but one body of truth. Now, this body of truth is described under several different terms. It is called the faith. You remember back in Acts, the 6th chapter and the 7th verse, the record says, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great number of the priests were obedient to the faith. The faith here has reference to the body of revelation. It has reference to the gospel, as Paul would say in Romans 1 and verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. John, as he writes, he calls it the doctrine of Christ. You remember in 2 John 9, he would say in 2 John 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. You see the terminology there? He is talking about this body of revelation, the doctrine of Christ. And he says, a man that doesn't abide in the doctrine hath not God, and he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Now, it's just that simple. To abide in the doctrine is to abide in the teaching. But we see then that the message, there is no middle message, you see. You are either abiding in the doctrine or you're not abiding in the doctrine. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Paul said in Ephesians 4 and verse 4, there is one faith. So when you begin to study the Bible, it does not mark out any middle ground. Now what you can see from what I'm preaching here tonight, the truth is simple, isn't it? It is simple. Simple. You know, brother, this is where we must stay. We must stay in that which is simple. Because today, when we get into trouble and when error comes around and men begin to try to mark out middle ground, they get away from these simple principles. They want to leave us with the impression that the Bible is not that simplistic, you know. You know, when people get educated, and there's nothing wrong with having education, if you will forget you got a lot of it after you get it, you know. But when they get educated, and the reason I said that, because a lot of the education you're going to get is worldly wisdom that contradicts everything that has to do with truth. And therefore, that's the reason you need to forget it. And but in getting your higher education, what are you going to come in contact with? Well, you're going to come in contact with the philosophies of men that no truth is simple. You see, no truth is simple to eggheads. It's just not simple. And so this trickles down. And sometimes we begin to think in the church that, of course, there is nothing that is simple. And you begin to give the simplistic answers that the Lord gave, and folks say, oh, no, that's too simple. But it is simple. That's the point we need to make. But many times we don't want to face up to the simplicity of it. The Lord marked out no middle ground when it came to masters. The Lord marked out no middle ground when it came to his message and the message of error. Jesus wanted all of us to understand that there is no middle doctrine to save us. That you're either following him and his doctrine, or you're following the precepts and the doctrines of men. And there is no salvation in following the precepts and the doctrines of men. Jesus said in Matthew 15 and in verse 9, he says, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now what is Jesus emphasizing? He's emphasizing that there is no salvation in false doctrine. None whatsoever. Anytime you and I follow false doctrine, it makes our worship vain. And when Paul wrote to the churches of Galatia, he pointed out that these people had departed from the gospel, and in their departing from the gospel, they came under the curse of God. Listen now to verse 6, beginning in Galatians, the first chapter. He says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, what did he point out? He pointed out that anything that differs from the gospel of Christ is a perverted gospel. And he says, but though we are an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, then that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Let him be what? Let him be anathema. Paul didn't beat around the bush about it. He said, a man that comes and preaches another gospel, that preaches false doctrine, he stands under the curse of Almighty God. Then he turns around and he emphasizes it. In verse 9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Let him be anathema. Let him be cut off. Is that not simple? What are we learning? There is no middle ground. Man can only be saved by the gospel, because man will be judged by the gospel. In Romans 1, Romans 2 and verse 16, Paul said, In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. And when he calls it my gospel, he doesn't mean that it originated with him. It's the gospel of Christ. But he, of course, had been inspired and had delivered the gospel of Christ to men. we will be judged by the gospel. We'll not be judged by the precepts or by the doctrines of men. And God will not tolerate anybody adding to his word or taking away from his word. Let's just look in Revelation 22 and verses 18 and 19. He says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written in this book." Now what did he plainly tell us? He said, you add to it, you take away from it, and I'll tell you what, you won't go to heaven when you die. That's what he said. Now, what are we talking about? There is no middle message. No middle message. You either have the truth or you don't have the truth. There is no middle message given that can save man. There is no middle ground. So, what must you and I do? We must seek to find the truth, and we can. We must keep our minds open, our hearts open, and we must study our Bibles and rightly divide the word of truth and abide in the truth. That's the only thing that will save us. That's important. No middle message. There is no middle ground when it comes to masters, and there is no middle class of people between the saved and the unsaved. You know, people sometimes, I think, well, you know, I'm not in the church, I'm not saved, but at the same time, you know, I'm not just an all-out reprobate, and therefore I may occupy some kind of middle ground. There is no middle ground. And the Lord wanted us to face up to that fact. If we are saved, we have obeyed the gospel. As Paul would point out in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, he would say, beginning with verse 1, he says, "Above, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Now, what does he tell us? He tells us, if we are saved, everybody that's been saved has obeyed the gospel, and everybody that's obeyed the gospel has been added to the church, Acts 2 and verse 47, and the saved, of course, are those who have obeyed the gospel and are living faithful lives every day, as the Revelator would tell us in Revelation 2 and in verse 10. He would say, "Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer, because, behold, whether the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life." Who's going to get the crown of life? The faithful. The faithful. Whether he lives out his life faithfully here on earth, or he's faithful until somebody takes his life because he's standing up for what's right. Only the faithful will be saved. And the saved are those who have obeyed the gospel. The saved, those who have obeyed the gospel and have been added to the church. Now, who are the unsaved? The unsaved are those who have never obeyed the gospel. That's just the truth about it. Paul said, as he wrote to the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians, the 1st chapter, beginning with verse 7, and he says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, that the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Now that's simple enough. If I have not obeyed the gospel, I am not saved. If I have obeyed the gospel and I am not living faithful, I am not saved. And if I am in my alien sins, I've never obeyed in any respect, what's my condition? I'm lost. The saved have obeyed the gospel and are living faithful. Those who have never obeyed the gospel stand under condemnation. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Now isn't that simple? The Lord never marked out any middle ground. Now, why? Because he wanted these lessons driven home. He wanted the human family to see where they stood with him. He wanted them to have a clear-cut view that they are true masters. And we can make the choice. We can serve the devil and be lost. We can serve the Lord and have hope of eternal life. He wanted us to see that there are two messages. His message, that is truth, we can obey it and be saved, or we can obey the precepts and the doctrines of men, whatever these doctrines may be, if they are of men, and stand under the condemnation of God. He then emphasize the fact that we are either saved or we are not saved. Now that's the truth about it. There is no middle ground. Now, if you're here tonight and you have never obeyed the gospel, you're lost. And I tell you that because the Lord said that. And I don't tell you that with any glee. I tell you that with great love. You're lost. The only way you can be saved is to do exactly what I pointed out. The Lord said, you must obey the gospel. What do you need to do? You need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You need to repent of your sins. Confess your Lord as the Ethiopian eunuch did, and be baptized for the remission of your sins, as they were told in Acts 2 and verse 38. Now, if you have at one time in your life been saved from your past sins, lived a faithful life, but you've gone back into the world, and there's sin in your life, and you now are among the unsaved, you don't have to stay in that condition. The Lord has provided a way for you. You can come repenting of your sins, confessing your Lord, not confessing the Lord, but confessing your sins, as Peter taught in Acts 8, there Simon the sorcerer, confessing your sins and praying God, and he will forgive your sins. 1 John 1 and in verse 9. And so we do not have to stay in the service of the devil if we're in his service. The Lord has invited us to come, and he wants us to be saved. And if you're here and subject to the invitation in any way, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?
The voice of the Savior has come. The cross.